17 warehouses and distribution centers and 19,000 health facilities in the international donor supported supply chain. Guys,
pretty that's huge.
Then they have done some work in the restaurant and food services companies as well. This is a QSR space, which sort of has similar challenges, but not as serious, I would say.
Growing a business requires a holistic approach that extends beyond sales and marketing. This approach needs alignment among people, processes, and technologies. So if you're a business owner, operations, or finance leader looking to learn growth strategies from your peers and competitors, you're tuned into the right podcast. Welcome to the WBS Podcast, where scalable growth using business systems is our number one priority. Now, here is your host, Sam Gupta.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the WBS Podcast. I'm Sam Gupta, your host and principal consultant at the independent ERP and digital transformation consulting firm Elevate IQ. The multi-party supply chain systems are unique. They combine the power of various technologies, including a very strong network, AI and ML, and in some cases, blockchain. Blockchain is especially critical when data boundaries may cross over countries which might have data sharing limitations because of geopolitical issues. Also, the pharma and drug distribution channels have very different issues when it comes to supply chain traceability and threat detection. So where does One Network Enterprise stand in its capabilities, and how does it differ from other supply chain suites? In today's episode, we invited a panel of industry experts for a live discussion on LinkedIn to conduct an independent review of One Network Enterprise's capabilities. We covered many grounds, including their capabilities with blockchain and how that provides them with unique capabilities, especially in the pharma and health market, focusing on developing countries. Finally, we discussed cross-border supply chain issues and why they require specialized capabilities such as One Network. With that, let's get to the conversation. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's show. And if you are joining for the first time, this is part of our industry series for which we meet every Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern. And seems like after doing like 200 episodes, I'm forgetting my tricks in how to go live, Andy. I'm glad that we are finally live. So before we dig into today's vendor or solution, I mean, that's what we review every week. So for today, we have One Network Enterprises, and this is the TMS vendor, and we have reviewed a lot of the different
vendors.
And we are going to debate, okay, whether these guys are really TMS vendor. I don't know if they like to call us TMS vendor or not, but they are somewhere there in that field, I guess. So we are going to have a lot of fun discussing that. Before we do that, we'll start with our intros. So quick intro about myself. I'm Gupta, principal at Elevate IQ. Elevate IQ is the independent ERP and digital transformation consulting firm. On that note, Andy, do you want to introduce yourself?
I would love to, Sam. Thank you very much. My name's Andy Pratico. I've been involved in ERP software all my life, specifically for manufacturers of all different types and kinds and sizes. I've worked all over North America, and I actually do people how to uncover the truth about ERP software before they buy. I'm not sure if you're all familiar, but I've read a lot of statistics, but one of the statistics I pulled out of the Wall Street Journal was that 73.8% of all companies don't like their ERP, and that's awfully embarrassing. So hopefully my book will help you out a little bit. And I'll tell you who else will help you out a little bit is Mr. Gupta, is if you need some objective, honest insights regarding any systems out there. I mean, we've been doing these evaluation podcasts for 2 years now, Mr. Sam Gupta speaks and works with a lot of companies, and he's very familiar of what's under which out there. If you need some advice.
Love the pitch. Check out the book if you have not checked. And I completely agree with the objective evaluation there overall in terms of the stat that you mentioned, that it is rather embarrassing. So
it's terribly embarrassing.
So thank you so much for mentioning that. So now let's do the briefing that we typically do, Andy, sure. You know, as part of these sessions. Okay, so we'll provide a lot of different layers in terms of where these guys sort of fit in. So number one, as I mentioned, that they are really into that TMS bucket, but TMS could have a lot of different layers as well. So these guys are part of that multi-party supply chain network. I mean, that's how I guess Gartner sort of defines it. There are only so many different players that are part of that. But I think the best way to visualize this is going to be in the form of those three circles. And Andy, I don't know if you remember those three circles or not. Number one is going to be your planning. Number two is going to be your network. Number three is going to be your exit. Yes. Not a lot of companies in the market have the real network, I guess. And the network has two layers as well. One is going to be the network more from the procurement side of the network, where you are going to have your the suppliers, you know, as part of your network versus the carriers as part of the network, right? So nobody in the market has real strong network. Everybody sort of working with each other to be able to form the complete network to get the complete visibility. These guys, even though they are playing in that enterprise market, so this is not meant to be the SMB solution. Just like your E2 Open is probably going to be the closest comparable here with this particular solution, just because they have network, these guys have network. But these guys' network is going to be slightly different the way they are approaching. And one of the foundational difference that these guys have is the blockchain. And blockchain has been talked a lot, especially in the supply chain space. And the reason why it is so critical in the supply chain space is because of the geopolitical issues. Okay, Andy, and now you must be wondering, okay, how the hell geopolitical issues are related to supply chain? Okay. And I think they say that, you know what, wherever you have data, and data is almost like oil or money or, you know, however you want to relate, right? And everybody's sort of trying to control their data. And when you talk about the supply chain traceability, especially when you talk in the international context, there is a lot of politics involved. Okay, you are not going to have access to data, and you are not going to have these fancy APIs where you can supply your credential and, you know, boom, I'm going to get this data from China. It doesn't work that way.
Data is almost like currency.
Data is almost like currency. And when you are dealing with, let's say, currency from other countries, there is always politics involved.
Oh, yes.
So that's where sort of blockchain fits in, because what blockchain does is it sort of bypasses that traditional way of accessing that data. And I don't know, honestly speaking, how other networks are approaching this. These guys are slightly expressive in stating their positioning, that these guys are literally using that blockchain technology. That was their foundation, because before that, you were not able to link all of the international links. And that's why that supply chain traceability was literally impossible. Okay, but these guys have figured out, you know, how to do that. I don't know if the other companies are doing similar things as well. But when you look at this whole industry-wide supply chain, and that becomes very important because there are a lot of regulations and compliance that is changing as well from the drug traceability perspective, because there is a real threat, you know, in the market at this point of time. So you require that international supply chain traceability that was not possible before, but now with supply chain, that seems possible. And that's their biggest differentiator overall. And that's why whatever they are able to do, I don't know how many companies will be able to do that. So right now, overall, if you look at the size of the network, obviously E2 Open is probably going to have slightly bigger network overall in terms of the coverage, but I don't know if they can implement the same use cases that One Network Enterprises is able to implement. And I don't know any other vendors that will be able to do that. So they have a real differentiator there overall in their offering just because of that blockchain technology. So we are going to see a lot of unique layers today, you know, related to that, that I don't think we have seen with any other vendors. Okay, but the overall value prop, if you look at, they are fairly comparable with any of the international supply chain suite platforms, especially if they are going to have network, and there are not a lot of them, if you look at in that multi-party scenario. So they are going to have a little bit of execution piece, but their biggest strength is going to be in that
multi-party traceability, the international traceability that they are able to provide, the multi-company BOMs, and that is one layer above, Andy, when you look at your company-wide BOMs, where you are going to have just one company, but here you are talking about very consolidated BOM that you are tracking at the industry level, as opposed to tracing this inside the four walls, of the factory or the company. So that's where the real differentiator. And things get a little complicated overall when we look at that. Okay, so Andy, do you have any comments?
No, I'm looking forward to learning more, Sam.
Okay, perfect. So let's go to the slides. And we have some folks in the audience. So let's give them shout out, I guess. We have Kazi. Hi, excellent life. Thank you so much. Okay. Then we have Rajat. Great Sam, smart compared data and country. Great comments, guys. Follow them if you don't right now. All right. So here, this is coming from the press release, I guess, from their news releases that they have done over the period of time. So this is One Network Enterprises, the global provider of multi-party digital network platform and services. Today announced One Blockchain. And that is the real differentiator. And again, I don't know, even if you look at the companies that have deep network, including Infor and D, I have not seen them using the term blockchain. I don't know if they use blockchain to be able to provide the visibility. For the most part, if you look at the visibility platform, I think what they are doing is they are simply gathering this data, from the BOM perspective, and they are trying to correlate all of that to build the link, but they are not necessarily using the blockchain technology to be able to build these links. And that's why this is going to be slightly more powerful overall.
Do you mind if I ask, what is blockchain technology, Sam?
Think of blockchain as more of the ledger, the way your GLs work. But the real difference is going to be that GL is sort of the traditional way of thinking of ledger, right? But mm-hmm. Here, when you have to literally build these chains of data, that's where sort of a blockchain technology fits in. Obviously, Bitcoin you have these large networks and you have the whole traceability, and they are trying to decouple government from the from your money, and they are really trying to build the supply chain. That is all enabled by your blockchain technology. So here, what they are doing is they are really using the technology that powers your Bitcoin. The way Bitcoin works, the whole, I don't know whether you want to call this a stock exchange or the money flow, that is all governed by this technology, where they are sort of linking these chain, in the late terms, I guess. I don't know how else to describe, Andy. I don't know if I'm making sense.
No, that's good. Thank you very much.
Of course. All right. So here, what they are trying to do is they are building the chain of data, but this data is going to be supply chain related. So this is going to be, okay, you have this big bomb that you are trying to send, in which you are going to have all of that container information, whatever, and then you are sort of trying to link, okay, wherever it is going, whether you are getting the data from your ELD perspective or from the edge devices, whatever data you have, you are really trying to build the chain. That's what you're trying to do. So here they are saying a new blockchain solution that empowers trading partners to fully harness the power and potential of blockchain. Then they are talking about a little bit of supply chain orchestration capabilities, which decreases risk, increases efficiency. And I think we have seen the risk word used in some other solutions as well, because they were trying to do very similar work as threat detection, product counterfeit. They were trying to track that as well. So that's what these guys are trying to do from the supply chain risk management perspective. Now, some more comments here. They are saying overcomes key blockchain compromises around confidentiality and performance. Then they have comments such as brings the advantages of blockchain technologies such as non-reputability and trust and immutability. And those are very technical concepts now, Andy. Don't ask me to describe those to me, because they are going to be above my head too. but I think the overall intent is that basically you don't have an agency controlling the chain. I guess that's where, that's the real difference, I think, in building that ledger versus this, right? We have one more comment here. So let's discuss this. Hey, John, thanks for joining. And follow John if you don't follow him. His first name is J-O-N, and the last name is Kirkgaard, I guess. K-I-R-K-E-G-A-A-R-D. Follow him. Now he's saying, where did he get one network based on async blockchain? Last time I checked, it is one big synchronous real-time DB. Why Greg Brady named it one, as he wants to be the only network. Reality is supply chain ecosystems are and will consist of thousands of, not millions of networks that connect asynchronously. Please describe one's connectivity capabilities to other networks. Okay, this seems a loaded comment, I guess. So I don't know how to respond to that. Overall, I guess, you know, if you look at their marketing positioning and the way they are doing things, I know some platforms in the market, they are definitely using blockchain technology, and I don't have the technical details, to be completely honest, what these guys are doing. So I will not be in a position to be able to comment on that, whether it's a real DB. But my suspicion is going to be, if they are just a DB and not really a blockchain technology, I don't know how they will be able to do the network. But on the flip side, if you look at the other companies, I don't think they have mentioned blockchain as such. If you look at E2Open, but they are able to provide much broader network, much broader linking overall. But we have not seen the use cases that these guys are able to do overall from the traceability perspective, especially in the healthcare supply chain. So these guys seem a little different. And my suspicion is going to be, especially if you are able to deliver on those compliance cases, then they have something related to blockchain. So John, I don't know. I mean, I don't have technical details of the platform to be able to comment on that. If you have more information, maybe comment more. But I do believe that, I mean, if they are publicly stating that they have blockchain, I don't see a reason why they would not have that. Andy, do you have any comments there by any chance?
I'm sorry, I do not, Sam.
Okay. But thank you so much for the comment. Really appreciate the perspective. Okay. So one thing that I did not touch there is overall, if you look at the strength of their network, so they have roughly about 60,000 trading partners over the blockchain. So if you look at just the number of trading partners, that's lower than what we saw in the case of other companies that are going to have network, and that is going to be your E2Open. Now, again, don't ask me whether they have blockchain, because they did not mention that, but they have much bigger network, and people seem to be happy with that, I guess. And honestly speaking, personally, me, I don't care for which technology they are using. What is important is what business value are you getting out of that, right? So these guys are able to do supply chain traceability. They are doing supply chain traceability. Their network is far stronger in general. But again, the use cases that these guys are able to deliver, I don't think we have seen the same case study with the other vendors. So we have a reason to believe that these guys have something different overall from the technology perspective. Okay, now, this is another comment, and this is all public release, so I don't know why anybody would mention something that they don't have. It doesn't make any sense. Okay, 2018, I mean, yes, there are sales pitches, but I mean, they are typically not in the... okay, so here they are saying that today announced a new flexible and cross-industry chain of custody solution built on its real-time value network, RTVN, by providing serialization and tracking. And serialization and tracking is extremely difficult. If they are able to do that, again, that's why we believe that they probably have something different. Okay, achieving this is very, very, very hard, even inside, a DB, even if you are going to be implementing this only from the ERP perspective, and they are able to do industry-wide, you know, that's why they are definitely different. So they are saying, by providing serialization and tracking across complex supply chains that involve multiple parties and handoffs, and there are going to be geopolitical issues. So I don't think the traditional DB approach is going to work here. So they definitely have something different here. This latest offering leverages the powerful capabilities of blockchain to help mitigate threats such as your product diversion, counterfeiting, and that's a big issue in the drug pharma space. And, you know, those spaces are fairly regulated and monitored. and you really need to know what you are doing. Otherwise, it's not going to work. And I don't think we have seen any other networks, you know, really playing in this space, at least in the international product. So these guys definitely have something different. Gray market distribution, spoilage, you know, substandard products, and unauthorized introduction. By facilitating the mass serialization, and they have used very specific term that, again, we have not seen with any other vendors, you know, that have a network. And lot tracking. And they are talking about global mandates such as recent U.S. Drug Supply Chain Security Act. And that is very, very, very serious. Okay. So again, if somebody does not have that, then these spaces are fairly regulated. So I don't know why anybody would claim that.
Not fairly regulated. Very.
Very regulated. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Very strict.
Yeah. And that's why, again, I don't think we have seen any other networks operating in the pharma and drug distribution space, just because it's a different beat. Yeah. So risk and threat management, product diversion, we have already covered all of that. So I don't know if I have anything else here. This is also coming from 2018, again, press release. So today announced that leading logistics provider Imperial Logistics is using One Network's cloud platform to provide an end-to-end fulfillment backbone. So this is a very similar use case. I don't see much of the differentiator here. I think this should be possible using your E2Open platform as well. So here they are saying that manages the entire distribution process of essential medical supplies is different. You are going to have very different regulations here. And again, I don't think I have seen this particular use. Okay. Yeah, I have seen this use case with companies that are trying to manage just the domestic supply chain, maybe four hospitals, you know, four department that we saw. I believe, and if you remember correctly, I don't know which platform was that. Texas, I believe, right? Texas is in healthcare space. They were doing, but this is different ballgame. This is at the international level. There are multiple countries are involved. Terrorists are involved, I guess. You know, there are different level of, you know, activities. So I would say this is different use based on what we have seen so far. So here they are saying by establishing One Network's real-time value network and serialization and tracking solutions for pharmaceuticals, medical supplies for country-wide fulfillment is the term that they have used. Again, very, 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 very different. Okay. Imperial Logistics is safeguarding the distribution of medication, counterfeit or contaminated medication, even inside. So if you look at the ERP systems that are going to be very pharma flavored. For example, let's say even if you look at the smallest of the smallest ERPs, like Bluelink ERP, they have very unique functionality from the pharma perspective. And that is very, very, very. So again, this is a different use case altogether. So here they are saying medication that contains wrong or no active ingredients has long plagued the global pharmaceutical supply chain, which is a big deal, such as mass serialization and track and trace at the global level. Again, a big deal. Here they are talking about track and control, transfer management and distribution of antiretroviral, I guess, anti-malarial medication and supplies in real time. Okay, here's some more commentary, support for serial tracking, lot splitting. But guys, this lot splitting is not inside your facility, not inside your warehouse. This is the global fulfillment. You are tracking the serial number and lot number at the global level, which is very, 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 very different. So make sure you guys understand that. Just because it says lot splitting, lot tracing, there is going to be a very small vendor that might claim that as well. But this is a different ballgame. Tracking through consolidation, deconsolidation, again, very different process because this is happening at the international supply chain level. So it's the very different. Blending, mixing, targeted recalls literally at the global level. Different ballgame. Okay, IoT integration and partial chains of custody. Very, very, very different functionality. Okay, now this is a very unique use case. And again, these not-for-profit, they become very complex as well, the kind of challenges that they have. You know, if you go to not-for-profit, sometimes even their business processes here at the domestic level, even if you're going to go for very, very, very small not-for-profit, sometimes they could be very complex in general, okay? Because they have many different business models that are going to be part of that. So here we are talking about managing the supply chain for a very large not-for-profit. So this is also coming from a case study, I believe. So this is the Chemonix International, one of the world's leading international development consulting firms working in over 70 countries. And One Network Enterprises, a global provider of multi-party digital network platforms, they are talking about announce a new partnership to promote and safeguard the timely and safe delivery health, medicine, and commodities through Nigeria. Okay. Again, very different business processes when you get into the challenges of developing countries. Good luck with that. Okay. They are very complex in general. Even their payment processes are very complex. So here they are talking about RTVN to create a blockchain-enabled control tower that will ensure supply chain visibility. Again, a lot of companies are going to claim the supply chain control tower functionality. But I think where I see the biggest value these guys have is going to be in that track and trace, the whole pharma-specific functionality. That's where their biggest differentiate. Here they are talking about the supply chain processes of Nigeria's 17 warehouses and distribution centers and 19,000 health facilities in the international donor-supported supply chain. Guys,
pretty that's huge.
Then they have done some work in the restaurant and food services companies as well. This is a QSR space, which sort of has similar challenges, but not as serious, I would say. Here also, you still need to trace the food elements, okay? But again, it's not as serious as doing it for pharma. So they have done this for restaurant and food service space as well. So here they are talking about, this is a new capability that they had introduced. So they are talking about fine dining, fast, casual. And again, all of these verticals are very supply chain focused in general. This is where most supply chain solutions target. So they are talking about QSR can benefit from a range of new capabilities that improve inventory planning, accuracy, and responsiveness, including forecasting based on restaurant foot traffic enables restaurant operators and planners to model product demand despite gaps in other quantitative information like sales order or shipment history. Now, this is a very planning-centric scenario, which most supply chain suites are probably going to have. Their data is not going to be as strong as E2Open just because their network is not as strong, I guess. So their forecasting may not be as strong just because, again, their AI ML algorithms are not going to be as strong. So this is not really a differentiator for them, in my mind, at least. The biggest differentiator, again, for them is going to be in that traceability that they are able to do. Andy,
now,
go ahead.
You mentioned originally being in pharma, which made sense, especially from the descriptions that were provided. But now it's talking about fine dining and fast casual and et cetera. Restaurants get basically supply chain.
Yes. Yes, Andy.
So do you think they target one or the other, or they do both, or what?
They are targeting both, I guess. They are targeting anything that is going to be involved in that global supply chain. Their play is going to be in that global supply chain. Their play is really in the enterprise space, to be completely honest. Okay. So all of these verticals, I mean, they are very similar to what your Blue Yonder or E2Open, they are going to target, right? And typically, these guys are going to be in that SAP Oracle ecosystem. They are sitting by SAP or Oracle. From the ERP perspective, and these guys are providing that international supply chain capabilities. But overall, from the vertical perspective, they are targeting very similar verticals. And Andy, from the ERP perspective, I guess, these are going to be very similar verticals that your QAD is going to target. QAD,
I was gonna mention,
they were very
QAD,
supply chain focused.
Similar target market, yeah.
Yeah, even Plex for, to some extent. Yeah, they are very supply. So if you look at their actual verticals that One Network Enterprise target, they also target automotive and aerospace because they could have very collaborative supply chain as well. So collaborative supply chain term that we saw in the case of, let's say, E2Open2, because you are, when you are planning at the Fortune 500 level and you need to partner with all of your suppliers, you need to get their data to be able to forecast the demand so that you can send what they need to produce. And if you don't have that, everybody's going to be so confused in the value chain and the supply chain is going to be all over the place. So that's where the real value is. In when you talk about these collaborative supply chain, that's where you need a lot of collaboration. But these guys, the biggest differentiator for these guys is in that regulated space, in my mind. Okay, so John is saying there is a great potential for decentralized async network, decentralized data, and encrypted data. You can call it blockchain or just a logical framework for loosely coupled companies, supply chains to collaborate. To my knowledge, no big tech supply chain vendors are based on anything but centralized synchronous technology. This white paper can help you understand the engineering required. And guys, please check the white paper. And again, I think these are technical details. I don't know how much they matter, to be completely honest. But I mean, at least from my perspective, I don't know how much that is going to matter. But if you have a use case where the technical details are going to be relevant, make sure you do the research. We're talking to these guys. We have one more comment here coming from Rajat. Is that session recorded? Yes, it is recorded. Also available on YouTube as well as on our podcast. So if you miss anything, obviously you can go and check on YouTube after the session. So moving right along, Andy, unless you have any other comments here. So here they are talking about chain of custody tracking. They are saying allow the management of disputes, enhances product track and trace, enables targeted recalls in faster, simpler, and more precise manner, and supports full cold chain support with temperature control. Again, those processes at the global level could be very complex to implement in general. In my experience, the chain never works. So obviously these guys are able to do something different, and that's why companies are implementing. So they have handle high volume events, GPS information, data from temperature sensors. We have seen data coming from temperature sensor with other vendors, but temperature sensor could have another layer, which is going to have further complications. So again, they are doing a lot of work in that regulated. Now we have some more comments here. Additional enhancements for the automotive and manufacturing industries include. So here we have some more layers, which is attribute-based demand forecasting with demand sensing. Anything attribute-based is going to be fairly challenging. I guess we saw this in the last session, Andy, if you remember MOVE 3. They were also selling in very regulated space, and that's why they had attributes pretty much everywhere. And even in the WMS space, it could be very challenging. You need attribute pretty much on the pallet, on bin, on the SKUs, whatever you can think of, you require there. And now when you have to do attribute-based demand forecasting with demand sensing, which might not be as difficult as it sounds. The reason for that is because most of your SNOP platforms, they are fairly flexible. You don't really, impact your operational processes just because you are going to have 5 attributes. You can have a million attributes. Who cares? In your SNOP planning platforms, just because you are not impacting your operational processes, that's why your SNOP systems are slightly friendlier. How many ever layers you want to implement inside your SNOP, FP&A, CPM platforms, there is no problem at all. Okay.
I would imagine that the system we evaluated last week, the MORF system, is not targeted at the same size of networks.
You are right. I mean, that is baby. This is
granddaddy. Baby, this is the grandpa. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is really big. That is very small.
Yeah, this is huge.
Yeah. It's not a fair comparison. I think the only comparison I'm trying to make here is from the industry back to just to
be sure. Clear. I understand.
So here they are saying autonomous demand-driven forecast and a capability to compute both independent and dependent demand across manufacturing and parts. And I think this is the layer that we saw in Kinaxis, which was very strong in manufacturing in general. And they were the ones who had really used that independent and dependent demand term. There are going to be other platforms that cannot do the real manufacturing bomb, even though they are going to claim that, hey, I'm good, I can sell in manufacturing as well. But manufacturing gets very complicated, even from the SNOP perspective, just because you are going to have a far more layers overall. So SNOP solution designed for retail is very different from it is designed for manufacturing. Now, they are in many different spaces, right? So these guys are trying to play in retail, then pharma, but then they have a little bit of manufacturing as well, which is very interesting. So they are saying the solution incorporates not just history, but all order forecast by channel to provide a demand sensing and consumption survey in the network. Then they are talking about as an exploded bill of material providing order forecast. So again, I think the layer is very, very similar to Kinaxis, what we saw there. I don't know if you have seen anybody else being so strong in manufacturing, even though E2 Open does really well, at least from their case study. We saw that they are very strong in manufacturing, and the reason for that is because they have very collaborative supply chain networks, so they have to do well in the manufacturing. Then we have the multi-echelon inventory optimization, MEIO. Again, that's a very retail-centric process, so these guys seem to be all over the place, I guess. So, but I mean,
when you're this size of a product, you're going to be all over the place.
Andy, you are going to be good in certain things, I guess, because you only have so much money. And if you're going to be all over the place.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're right.
Right?
Yeah, you're right.
Then you are going to run out of money. Improves inventory planning across, you know, parts and after market parts. Target service levels are maintained at customer-facing locations. While I think what they are trying to talk about is, I think this is a retail flavor of manufacturing. So they are really strong in that automotive, you know, aftermarket space, which has very similar layers as retail.
Oh, you mean like part sales and such like that?
Yeah. So these guys are not going to be in that grocery space. I really don't feel so. You know, these guys are trying to be in that aftermarket space, which makes sense because that has both layers. It has layers of your retail, but it also has layers of your slightly more industrial distribution manufacturing. And that's what they are talking about. Target service levels are maintained at customer facing locations, while service and inventory levels are optimized across the whole supply chain. And that's why they have used this term. But again, they are not in the pure play retail apparel, shoes, grocery space. I don't think they are playing there. Then they have integrated order management and PMS with autonomous supply chain services, intelligent agents for optimization of freight utilization and premium freight reduction for. Okay, so this is where my I think this could be a marketing speak, Andy, and you can probably tell me the description does not tie with the way the heading is, to be completely honest. So. And I don't know whether they have the OMS capabilities or not, to be completely honest. So they are saying streamline operations for users and provides users with workbench that includes new intelligent agents for optimization of. And again, that has nothing to do with OMS. But they are saying they have integrated OMS with TMS.
No, but it's all to do with TMS. So maybe they're misusing OMS.
Yeah. And I don't know why they would require OMS, because, again, I don't think they are in that retail space, to be completely honest. Because when you are going to be in that, you would probably require OMS. These are very MRP driven spaces. This is a very different industry. So that's why OMS might not be as relevant here. But again, I think they are trying to claim. So I don't know. I think this is the marketing. Some more commentary. They have the direct interface to telematics based solution providers and one network carrier. Mobile application enables real-time tracking of location and in-transit events. This is very interesting because we don't know if anybody really has that carrier network, because everybody's trying to partner with either Project 44 or Four Kites. I mean, we saw a lot of different announcements of that partnership. Even E2 Open does not have that, you know, and everybody's trying to. So I really don't know if they have this, to be completely honest, but they are trying to claim. So there could be layers. Geolocation intelligence, new intelligence agents utilize the real-time telematics information to predict ETAs for shipments and orders to determine shipments at risk, drive alerts, and automate activities like such as your rescheduling. Then they have LTL carrier network. API provides direct integration that enables rate, quote, exchange, booking request. Again, that's not a big deal. One unique layers that we have seen, I don't think we saw this in any other reviews that we have done so far, which is the Lumper network, which is a very interesting.
what do you feel that you're mentioning companies that offer unloading services inside a warehouse? That sounds almost like 3PL or something.
So it's a different 3PL service, I guess. but I mean, obviously, it's going to have a very different process, right? So I don't know how new this trend is. But the Lumper service, I mean, it's a contracted service just to unload your trucks when they are going to be in the warehouse. And why this particular push is coming is because now you have compliance around driver safety. So you can only take so much time from drivers. And traditionally, I think drivers did this job, but now the companies are sort of getting penalized for that. So you have the Lumper services. The only thing they do is they do quick unloading when the truck is going to be in the warehouse, and so that, you know, drivers can rest. That's the service that they are providing. So they have the whole invoicing, the claims, the freight management workflow, I guess. that has become relevant now. So they are saying an advanced lumping service provider API tracks activities, loading, unloading locations, and is linked to one network's appointment scheduling services and providing detailed event tracking for greater visibility in the network. They are saying a Lumper service is a third-party operation hired by a shipper, carrier, broker, or warehouse to unload the freight from a truck trailer when it arrives at a warehouse facility. You want to touch on? Yeah.
Yeah, I'd never heard that expression before, so it's rather interesting service.
Fairly new for me as well. I had to do a little bit of research, Andy, and that's why we have this description, I guess. Okay, so some more commentary. So this is, they are saying it also supports numerous regulatory mandates such as FSMA 204 in food, environmental, social governance concerns, which can also be addressed with its carbon tracking and management solution. We have seen the ESG being one of the biggest priority overall for supply chain suite solutions. A lot of different architecture patterns, I guess, you know. I don't know how this is going to go overall, I guess, in the long term. But right now, everybody's trying to attack that just because that's where money. And the chain, this chain of custody capability can span across blockchains and once proprietary ledger. End-to-end traceability across every supply chain mode, along with the actionability required to execute rapid recalls, end-to-end track and trace with integrated execution capabilities. FSMA compliant configuration complements one network's existing traceability, lot aggregation, disaggregation, and again, these are very, very, very sophisticated pieces of functionality. So you require firepower there. Temperature tracking, shelf life, serialized lot tracking, chain of custody solutions deployed in multiple sectors, including food, pharmaceutical, and high tech. And again, those are very different verticals. Then we have, this is a case study. This is coming from top three automotive OEM. They have 4,600 global suppliers, 20,000 shipping locations. Can you believe this? Okay, 4,500 dealer networks, 50 North American processing center warehouses and cross docks, 10,000 mass distributor, 650,000 shipments annually. That's the kind of volume that we are talking about. That's how big this is. So then we have some more commentary here. Shipments were significant, encompassing 650,000 annually across all business segments, including inbound, outbound. In addition, there were 35,000 claims processed annually and over $800 million in annual freight spend. Can you believe? But again, I think there, what they have done in this particular case study is all TMS work to become. So their boundary is really that TMS, even though it might come across as if they are doing probably more than that. but their boundary is definitely that TMS, you know, piece. In this case, the freight payment information was integrated to Oracle financials. So obviously they are playing in that Oracle, you know, SAP space. In general, the Oracle installations, you
know, Fortune 1000 size companies.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, the way Oracle installations are, for the most part, I mean, I would say 60-ish, 70% ones in the Fortune 500 space, where Oracle's use case is going to be really that, you know, general ledger, just the financials for the most. You know, they might do a little bit of procurement as well, but really limited in general, overall, from the ERP perspective. So here in these verticals, Oracle is only used for that, you know, financial, maybe reconciliation a little bit. But that's pretty much the scope of the ERP, which is obviously very lower scope, I would say, you know, overall, in terms of how the ERP is represented in these verticals. If you go to manufacturing, then ERP's scope increases substantially. So here they are obviously playing in that space. Payment information integrated back out of the Oracle financials. They are saying connect functional processes across multiple business segments. System architecture that has difficulty integrating across in-house business segments is not going to provide the type of infrastructure required to connect supplier networks in support of shipment creation, planning, and visibility. And again, this is a very TMS-centric, you know, process, and you need to integrate this because you are looking for that country-wide supply chain visibility. But again, these are not operational transactions. This is all your visibility, you know, traceability is what you are trying to do from the supply chain. So just a little distinction. Now, this is their flowchart of how this whole multi-party BOM works, which is very, very, very different workflow. This is outside of the boundary of your facility. Okay, this is happening at that international supply chain level. And that's why you are talking about this whole multi-party serialized BOM tracking. And they have been very deliberate in using the term serialized BOM tracking, because that's their real differentiator, to be completely honest. That's why they are playing in that, you know, pharma space. They are playing in that food space. They are playing in high-tech space, where serialization is very critical as well. And again, this is going to be at the global level not at the facility level. That's the real distinction. So you are doing the forecasting, planning, everything that you are doing at the global. Again, that's a very heavy lift. I don't know if I need to touch on anything else here.
It just shows the sophistication of these tools, eh?
Exactly. Again, this is a very different problem. You know, when you are trying to plan your supply chain at the global level, different ballgame. Yeah. Okay. So some more, slides here, I guess. Here they have used terms such as planned and unplanned events. And again, this is very international supply chain centric, use case, control tower centric functionality. They are talking about new product introductions, commodity price changes. Again, very international supply chain centric use there. And they all are going to impact your planning processes. They are going to impact the planning that you are doing at the global level. That's why these suites are going to be very important. But this whole connected planning, that's what every SNOP suite is probably going to be talking about. So there is no real differentiator here, I guess, but they have those capabilities. Now, they have mentioned, I mean, this is a very unique term that I don't think we have seen anywhere else. So they are talking about ND. So even in control tower ND now, you have 1.0, 2.0, 3.0. And these guys are trying to claim that they are control tower 4.0. Okay. It's kind of fascinating how quickly these things advance and everybody's trying to differentiate. And we are already in control tower 4.0 when I don't know, except Fortune 500, where we are going to see control tower functionality. But obviously, these guys are trying to claim that they definitely have slightly richer control tower functionality. In my mind, if you look at the richness, I think richness is coming in that serialization and the track and trace, if that's what they meant.
So you think that they've coined this phrase, do you?
I don't know.
Or they're just sort of... Just
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. What is 4.0, Andy? If you look at the size of the network, I think E2Open is going to have larger network.
Right.
Okay. Now, if we get into this whole technical debate again, I really don't know. Okay. So I will let people decide, okay, what is 4.0, 1.0? That's not my role, I guess. I'll tell you, you know, what I am seeing from my perspective. Okay. So some reviews here, Andy. So this is coming from 2023. So this is, banking, IT associate, which is very interesting. The function is IT, and this is a $30 billion organization. And in our understanding, that's their place. Now, the problem that I see with this review is they have reviewed bamboo roles.
Yeah, what is that, you know?
My understanding is going to be, Andy, we have not reviewed them, but that's probably going to be a very small platform.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny, you know, how they have reviewed these tools, to be completely honest. Okay. So then, okay, what did you purchase this product or service for? They are saying cost management. Okay. Enhance decision making. Cost management is not the area that you should be purchasing this tool for.
No, so, you wouldn't think that would be a value prop for a product like this.
Yeah.
It's just random.
Yeah, so I don't know. This reviewer probably does not know what they are. Then they are talking about what were the key factors that drove your decision. And they are saying pre-existing relationships. So for the most part, I guess, the kind of deals that they have seen so far, they must be through relationships for the most part, which is, again, I mean, it's very hard to trust the relationship-centric deal. People might be biased just because they have relationships. So some more comments here. This is coming from this is also $30 billion organization. Okay. This is hybrid cloud on-prem 2021. And they have compared it with Shipwell, Odyssey Logistics, and LogiNext. Overall, from the category perspective, I would say they are in the right bucket, at least from the TMS perspective. But again, I don't think this is a fair comparison. In my mind, you would be comparing, let's say if you are comparing this, you would probably like to see something like E2Open, Blue Yonder. That would be my guess. You know, Descartes probably. maybe Infor.
It's interesting. I mean, if you look at the lessons learned and what do you like most and what do you dislike most, it's bizarre responses because it doesn't really say anything.
Exactly. I have to agree with you, Andy, on that. So let's check some more reviews. So this guy is financial analyst, and then industry is manufacturing. And they have used it in 50 million to 250 million, which could be a stretch. I don't know if you are really going to find value unless you are going to be a 3PL organization.
Yeah, so this sounds like a little bigger than a company at 250 million.
So look at the comparison that they have done. Okay, this is also coming from 2021. And they have compared it with FreightPop. You remember FreightPop? We were doing pop. They were popping, and the whole name is very SMB. Right? And they have compared it with FreightPop, again, which is not a fair comparison. You know, and then they have the, what is that? Generex group, I guess. And I don't know. I don't think we have reviewed them. So here they are talking about, okay, what do you like most about the product or service? Automatically identify and suggest best route for movement of goods, which is probably a right use case for this platform, but again, at the global level. Then they are saying the business problems. Actually, this is useful for the effective logistics planning to control the cost. You know, logistics planning, if you are talking about freight spend, then it would make sense. But if you are talking about overall cost, I think they are referring it to the freight spend is what they are meaning here. Yeah. Okay, so now this is a very interesting review. So here, 2021 again. So this is QA ID services, $250 to $500 million in revenue. So here it is great integrated business planning and enhanced execution technology, helping cost saving and streamline processes. Okay, so I'll be slightly careful with this comment. So here they are talking about enhanced execution technology, but again, only from the transportation, only from the TMS perspective.
That's but look what at the list that they've evaluated. It's like every system known to man.
But I mean, they probably know what they are doing, to be completely honest, Andy, because these are the right systems.
They are the right ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
so,
wow.
Yeah. No, they definitely have done very thorough research, and these are the right competitors that anybody should be evaluating, which is BH Robbins, which is definitely you know, very enterprise centric platform. Cubix is not enterprise, you know, it's slightly more mid market. Then you have Manhattan, which is probably going to be slightly more in retail centric spaces, grocery, but they are definitely enterprise centric platform. They are not going to have all of that control tower functionality, at least not as deep, I guess. No network, at least proprietary. Then Mercury Gate is probably a mid-market solution. Blue Yonder is probably the right comparison. Mm-hmm. But surprisingly, they have BlueJay as well, which is E2 Open. And that's why they probably don't have E2 Open, you know, as part of this list. But E2 Open is probably going to be the most closest competitor for this. Okay, so some more commentary here. So here, 2021, it's live tracking helps to track in real time. This is the software development function, is the software development. This is also a $1 billion you know, organization, and they have compared it with Generex. We are seeing a lot, so we probably need to review them, what they have. You know, Oracle, SAP definitely would be there because they do have enterprise-centric TMS. But they are not going to have network.
But wouldn't these systems, wouldn't this system integrate to Oracle? Isn't that what they said earlier?
Depending upon which role is playing, who is playing what role, I guess. So SAP, Oracle, they are going to be playing the role of the ERP. They might have the execution-centric TMS, but then they don't have network. So they have to work with somebody. So they might be working with these guys because of their network and the supply chain control tower functionality, right? But then the whole execution platform, it might be sourced by Oracle SAP. So again, not one-to-one comparison, I guess. You know, everybody has different capabilities, I guess.
Do you have an idea of the price point of this product?
So massive. Like, yeah. This is a very...
Like tens of millions.
Very expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they are definitely in that SAP Oracle. Okay, so here they have the solid TMS provider. You know, One Network is a leading TMS provider where we would like to see some improvements. Okay, so they have compared it with Oracle. And again, that's not the right comparison, I guess. You know, I don't know how strong their TMS is going to be from the execution perspective. Oracle is probably going to have stronger TMS from the execution perspective, but they will not have network, control tower, the traceability. So that's where you need to design the right architecture to get the best of both platforms. So daily load planning execution is good. This is manufacturing, again, $10 billion to $30 billion. Andy, I don't know if you have more reviews. I think that's it. Let's open
Well, I think this is, you know, some of these systems that we've been evaluating recently are so massive. You know, it's difficult to give them any kind of a fair shake in 1 hour because there's so much to them that just it covers so much depth and breadth.
Yeah. And Andy, I guess, I mean, from these sessions, I guess, I mean, we are providing some layers at least so that, you know, they have some variables to quantify.
Well, we're touching the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But as we all know, I mean, ERP TMS, it's a very, very, very deep subject, I guess.
Crazy.
It takes years just to evaluate.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Sam. Always informative.
Amazing. Thank you so much for joining, Andy. So that's a wrap. If you joined for the first time, this was part of our industry series for which we meet every Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern. So make sure you guys are going to be here next week. We are going to come back with another vendor or the solution. On that note, thanks for tuning in, everybody. I cannot thank our guests enough for coming on the show, for sharing their knowledge and journey. I always pick up learnings from our guests, and hopefully you learned something new today. If you want to learn more about Dave Chrysler, head over to thechrysler.club, thechrysler.club. If you want to learn more about Andy Pratico, head over to esoft.com. It's esoft.com. Links and more information will also be available in the show notes. Also, don't forget to subscribe and spread the word among folks with similar backgrounds. If you have any questions or comments about the show, please review and rate us on your favorite podcasting platform or DM me on any social channels. I'll try my best to respond personally and make sure you get help. Thank you, and I hope to catch you on the next episode of the WBS Podcast.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the WBS Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you never miss an episode. For more information on growth strategies for SMBs using ERP and digital transformation, check out our community at wbs.rocks. We'll see you next time.